Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
Yeah, it's your girl Julie here, as always, live on Radio Africana. How are you doing? How have you been? Yes, it's your girl here again, and as always, I'm bringing you Embrace and Understand Diversity, brought to you by Reach Out Autism. This is a phenomenal show that we do here every Sunday at 7 to 8 p.m. Yes, and of course, it is aiming at raising awareness and of course to sort of sensitize everything and anything around autism. How are you doing? How was your weekend going? The weather is not too bad here in Manchester. Yes, I don't have a jacket on, so that means it is warming up a tiny bit though. Yes, depending on where you are, how is your weather there, wherever you are. It is Sunday the 16th of March. Wow, yes, it's already the 16th of March. The year is actually going. This is the third month of the year 2025, and time is just flying. Yes, you need to minimize the time because time waits for no man. Yeah, I am excited to be here. I am thrilled to be here. From wherever you're listening in, I am taking this opportunity to say, you know, thank you for always taking your time to tune in here for the very, very, very best cause, which is to obviously spread awareness around autism, and we tackle everything autism. Yes, I've got a phenomenal guest tonight, and I'm so looking forward to speaking to her tonight. But first and foremost, I am gonna play this song as I take a tiny bit of water, and I shall be right back in a jiffy. See you soon.
Never be more loved than I am right now. Wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I can do to let you down. It doesn't take a trophy to make you proud. I'll never be more loved than I am right now.
Going through a storm, but I won't go down. I hear your voice carried in the rhythm of the wind to call me out. You would cross an ocean, so I wouldn't drown. You've never been closer than you are right now. You are a driver, you are enough.
Yes. Welcome back. That's a beautiful song. And I'm sure my guest chose these songs. Every song we're going to play on the show tonight, my guest chose the song. But you know what? I love that song. And I know I always say I love every song that is played in here. But no, it's just the guests that I have. They know exactly what I like. So for some reason, they pick exactly the songs that I love. Yeah, so I've got my guest on. That's Gyra by Elevation Worship. I love it. So yes, I am going to introduce. Let my guest introduce herself. Hello.
Hi. Sorry, Julie. My name is Dorcas, and I'm a mother of a 7-year-old girl on the spectrum. I am an autism advocate, where I create awareness for autism for parents in denial to accept it and also support the community. I have been helping to empower families with 10 children, which I enjoy doing. Personally, I love reading, traveling, cooking, exercising, and also spending quality time with my family.
Amazing, Dorcas. Yes, I'm so humbled to have you tonight here on Radio Africana Live. This is Embrace and Understand Diversity, and we are so humbled to have you on tonight. Especially, we appreciate the fact that you're ready to share your story with ourselves. We thank you so very much. Dorcas, tell me, you have a 7-year-old girl on the spectrum, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Just tell me, talk to me through it. Before we go into exactly the main gist of the story, you do advocacy work. What exactly do you do? What does your work entail?
Oh, okay. Before I continue with the question that you've asked me, basically, I know that we are talking about children on the spectrum, and especially autism. And autism is a neurodevelopmental condition that affects people interacting with others, how they communicate, learn, and behave. So I would say that autism is not an illness, but it's the brain that works differently from the way other people's brains work. That's the reason why we see these children on the spectrum. So the reason why I decided to be an advocate is to actively support, promote the rights and well-being of individuals with autism and their family. Back home, originally where I am coming from, I realized that most of us don't really understand what autism is and why their brain works differently. So being an advocate, raising the awareness by educating people, parents, family, and also giving them that emotional support, it will get to a time that society will come to accept it. And that is what we want. That is why I am creating the awareness and being on that side, supporting family, so that we'll be accepted by society, and families will also, or those people that are in denial, will also accept the situation or circumstances that they have with their children. Yeah, that's the reason I do that.
Okay. Thank you so much for telling me the reason why you do it. On a daily basis, what does exactly your work entail? On a daily basis, what do you actually do in terms of advocacy work?
On a daily basis as a mother, or
the work that you do on a daily, what does it entail? Maybe for the purposes of somebody that is listening out there, advocacy work under the umbrella of autism, maybe they would want to know exactly what you do. Please, if you can.
Okay, so what I do is I enhance the understanding of autism. So many people still have the lack of knowledge about the condition. So what I do on a daily basis is that I raise the awareness to help educate people about the diverse experience of individual on the spectrum, because every child is different. And also on a daily basis, what I do is I help family by promoting the acceptance of the condition. So been increasing the awareness and telling people for them to understand will lead to them accepting the condition that other children or other family are facing with their children on the spectrum, so that they'll be able to be included in the community, they'll be able to be accepted in the society, their workplace, whatever they do. And also, as a on a daily basis, what I also do is I have tried to build a supportive community. So with this community, what I do is I encourage people that have family that are on the spectrum, by sharing my experiences, other people's experiences, by helping them and directing them towards where they can get resources for these children, and also by providing that mutual support for each of us on that network. And you know, as a mother and also having a child on the spectrum, what I would say is people normally forget about our well-being, because they will normally ask, how is your daughter doing? How is this person doing? But they normally forget about we the parents, or we the people that are taking care of these children, our well-being. So what I also do is I try to also promote the well-being of persons or parents that are also taking care of these children. Then they can be looked after, they can be accepted, and they'll know that yes, we are being loved. And there's also one thing that now is my priority that I'm doing around autism awareness, is encouraging early diagnosis, because most families don't want to accept it. So they feel like, oh, even though if my child is on the spectrum, I don't want to accept it. We are all believers, but look at the physical side of it, look at the spiritual side of it. So I've been creating this awareness each and every day to allow families to see the early signs and seek for support, which will help these children. Because the early you get the diagnosis, the better it becomes than you waiting till the last minute and you say, I want to do this. So working around autism awareness entails a lot. But on a daily basis, this is what I do: enhancing understanding of family, promoting the acceptance of it, building a supportive community, and also encouraging them for them to go for diagnosis to know what the child has. Yeah.
Amazing, Dorcas. That was really, really well explained. Thank you so very, very much. And from what you just said, it's quite a lot of work you're doing. And obviously, you know, I can hear the passion, you know, you have for this work. Well done to you. Now, you say you mentioned something around early diagnosis and how you work with people to try and promote early diagnosis. Could you please share a bit about your child, and when did you actually first notice this signs?
Okay, so when my daughter was 18 months old, I realized the retrogression in her developmental stages. So I called the health visitor and I said, look, this is what I've seen with my daughter at 18 months, and with the milestones that she's supposed to achieve, she is not getting there. And what the health visitor said to me is, we have to wait till my daughter was 24 months. And I said, no, I am not waiting. So I kept on pushing. And God being so good, not being a lazy mom.
Yeah.
And I wanted the right thing for my child. When she was finally 3 years old, her pediatrician confirmed it and said, yes, mom, all the signs that you have seen, whatever you've told us, is the right thing. And we are happy to diagnose your daughter with autism. Even though as a mother I wasn't happy, but I had to accept it, then I can get help and support for her.
Amazing. And of course, you know, from what you say, I'm hearing you say is that you, when you first noticed these signs, you called the health visitor. What is it that you can say to a mom or dad or caregiver out there that may struggle with this process? Because from what you're saying, it sounds like you were determined, but some mothers or parents or caregivers may struggle with this process.
Yes, I know most people are struggling, but what I would say to them is, as a mother or as a parent, and you are with your child, and you see all the milestones or all these developmental stages, so if you see anything that is not right with him or her, what I would say is, seek for advice, call the GP, book an appointment, go in and tell them your concerns. Look, I'm worried about this with my child. And what I will say with my journey so far with my daughter, I am happy that I did that earlier on than waiting till now that she is 7. She has achieved a lot. Within this 4 years after that she's been diagnosed, we have achieved a lot. And parents that have not started this journey, I've realized that their children, when they see me and my daughters, like, how did you do it, mom? How did you do it, mom? How did I do it? I did it because I seeked for early intervention for her. That's the reason why we've gotten here. So I advise every parent, don't be worried. Disability is not inability. As I said, just that their brain works differently from other people's brain. So when you accept it, it will help you, the parent, and it will also help your child for his or her future. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Dorcas. That's really, really motivating. And yes, to every parent out there, caregiver who maybe struggle with it, you know, the process of the diagnosis. Dorcas says she feels happy that she did that. She sought medical attention at an age that was appropriate, which she called, you know, you said at 18 months is when you called the health visitor. Is that what you said?
Yeah, 18 months. Yes, that's when I call the health visitor. Yeah.
And of course, every child, every young person, everyone is an individual. So every person at their own pace, I feel and believe. So yeah, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Embrace and Understand Diversity, brought to you by Reach Out Autism. As always, it's your girl here, Julie, bringing you this show every Sunday 7 to 8. Thank you so much for tuning in. And before we go into a break, I just want to emphasize that we have a grand dinner, a gala dinner on the 12th of April, which is a few weeks down the line. Yes, and as always, this is our annual dinner that we do hold every year, and this year it's on the 12th of April. And the aim is to try and raise more funds, more and obviously spread more awareness around autism, and of course try and raise some funds for a good cause, which is raising more awareness around autism. Yes, so we're going to take a mini break and we shall be right back in just a jiffy.
Spirit of God, you're here. You have all authority. I pray over my heart and mind. I am healed by your stripes. Your blood declares that I am free. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. I'm okay. Everyone.
Yes. Welcome back. Yeah, my producer is making me laugh. Welcome back to Embrace and Understand Diversity, where we talk everything autism. We hear successful stories, we hear people's lived experience, we motivate, we inspire. It is a very, very, you know, wonderful show. And thanks to everyone that tunes in every Sunday, 7 to 8 p.m. With your girl here, Jules, as always. Some people call me Julie and some people call me Jules. I don't know what. But anyway, yeah, you're most welcome back. Yes, Docus, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Julie. I'm here.
I know. I thought you gone on me. I thought you dumped me. You cannot afford to dump me, you know.
No. I would do that.
No, you won't. If you dump me, I'll block you straight up. Anyway, yeah, welcome back, Dacus, and thank you so much for taking your time to hang around with us here on Radio Africana, where we're talking everything autism. And okay, so I'm gonna delve into another question, which is around, obviously. Now, this is the time when you found out that your daughter was on a spectrum. Talk to us through the journey after that.
Wow. The journey has been very, 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 very challenging. So after I realized that there were a lot of retrogression with her developmental stages, and she wasn't achieving all those milestones, and you know, we live in the UK and you have to follow a kind of procedure to be able to even get an appointment to see the pediatrician, to be able to get an appointment to see an OT, to see a speech and language therapist. It has been very challenging. And as a mother, I became an expert in all this unique things because I have to find way of researching about how is my daughter going to get help with the pediatrician, how is she going to be on that waiting list, where are we going. It's been challenging. I remember when she was three, before she was diagnosed, I'll be crying mentally, emotionally. It affected me. I'll be crying and I'll say, what is happening? How am I going to get help for her? Because she's not verbal. As I'm talking to you, she's pre-verbal. She's never spoken before. She's still pre-verbal. And how am I going to even communicate with her? So the journey has not been easy. It has been very, very, very challenging. But I had to push through the system, and God being so good, with prayers, I got an appointment to see an OT. After getting an appointment to see an OT, it was something different. They said, sorry, we have to cancel your appointment because there are other people that have been on the waiting list for a long time, and we just realized that you have not been on it for this time. And I said, God, I told you people since my daughter was 18 months, why do I have to go through all this process? But as I said, God was good. I was able to see an OT. After getting an OT, I have to also get a speech and language therapist that will come into my daughter's life. All this has not been easy. And after I got through this process with my daughter, she's non-verbal. How is she going to communicate her needs to me? Mommy, I need this, I need that. And that's when I have to start learning Mackinton.
Yeah.
Wow. I have to start learning Mackinton. I have to do this peg, that's the picture frame. I put it everywhere in my house. And how, as a mother, how am I going to develop all this unique talent to be able to tell my daughter, oh, Joanna, when you see this is strawberry, come and give it to mommy. Joanna, when you see this is toilet, you need toilets, you need to do this. So my journey has been very challenging, and I know that other mothers out there is still the same, because it gets to a time, my daughter has got a lot of sensory needs. She is very sensitive, right? So there was a lot of meltdowns where she will be all over the place, banging her head, and I have to create this conducive environment for her, you know? When she's doing all this, how is she going to calm down with this meltdown? How am I going to support her so that she will not be hurt and all this? And sometimes she'll burn out, and I said, God, what am I going to do? But I had to create that conducive environment, then I have to find way as a mother. I have to multitask. And I'm telling you this today, life. So I used to work full time. I have to sacrifice my job for my daughter, because it got to a time that I have to choose her, but not my work. And the reason why I chose her was the journey was very challenging. And if I don't support her now that she is young, I don't know how I am going to go through it. And being a single mother, being on my own and supporting a child on the spectrum, something that I'm not aware of, I don't know how it came by. And also throughout my journey, even though my daughter is diagnosed with autism, she also has disturbed sleeping pattern, which means that she sleeps for 3 hours a day. Wow. So let's say if my daughter goes to bed at 7, by 1 a.m. or by 12 p.m., my daughter is up and she's very active, very, very active during the night. Even though there is no light here, she's very active. When I said to the pediatrician, he gave me melatonin to be given to her. My daughter is on the strongest one, the highest milligram now. But you still give it to her, it knocks her off, she sleeps for three hours, and she's up again. So it's a very challenging journey for me with my daughter. But currently, as I talk to you, I've been able to have ways and means how I control the situation.
Right, because okay. Before going to the successful stories, I'm sorry to cut you short there. I would like us to save that juice for last, because I'm gonna ask you to tell us about, you know, the strength and the successful stories that, you know, obviously that you have achieved with your daughter along the pathway of, you know, from finding out that she's on a spectrum and to where you are now. I believe that's obviously successful stories. You know, I feel you're very, you know, you're a very strong woman in terms of, you know, the support and, you know, you do things selflessly. Obviously, you said you had to leave your job because of your child. You had to choose your child in place of your job. You know, you had to look for help and all these, you know, other support services outside, the usual environment per se. But, you know, well done to you. Well done to you for this amazing work you're doing for your daughter. Mm. On that note, I want to ask you a question. Is there any difference or stereotypes between autistic girls or boys, do you know?
What I would say is we have to embrace neurodiversity across the gender spectrum. And with me, I would say that the importance of recognizing gender difference in autism or children with autism cannot be overstated. And we have to promote the awareness and understanding of autism in both genders. I don't see any difference, but I would say that we should promote the awareness and understanding of autism in both genders, and also by creating a more conducive and inclusive society for both of them. Not say there's a difference between a girl and a boy who is on the spectrum, no. So I would say that we have to challenge those stereotypes, and by challenging it will broaden our understanding of autism. Because now if I say that yes, there are stereotypes, they are different between boys and girls, someone will say, my daughter is verbal, and this person will say this is non-verbal, so he or she doesn't have autism. Because he's a girl, that's why he's verbal. Because he's a boy, that's why he's non-verbal. No. So I would say that we should challenge that stereotype and broaden our understanding of autism, where we can create a safe place that is more accepting and more supportive of both genders on neurodiversity. That's what I would say. Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you so much for that insight. That's really, really well spoken. And also, I'm just thinking out loud. I'm thinking, do you have an experience in navigating the education system with your girl?
Yes, I do. I do have a lot of experience. So let me tell you.
I'm asking the right person.
Yes. So I have an experience, and my is me that I would say that everywhere in the city they know my name because I have been challenging them for years now.
Yeah.
So when my daughter was growing up, when she started preschool, I know you are in the UK, so I have to get what they call educational healthcare plan for her. So when I told the school that she was, that look, I need an educational healthcare plan for my daughter because I don't want to wait till she's like 20 years, that's when I'm going to get this healthcare plan. And they said, no, it's not possible, she's so young, she has to get to the age of 5. I said, look, I'm not waiting for her to get to the age of 5. So I went through the system, I challenged them, finally my daughter got an EACP done. So after she got the EACP, she has to start school, she has to go to
for
reception.
For the sake of people who don't know what that is, could you just say, for some of us don't know what that means, please, could you just explain what that is for parents out there?
So it's educational healthcare plan. And okay. Basically what the educational healthcare plan does is it helps these children on the spectrum to be able to get all the support and the resources that they need throughout the years in school and also throughout the education system. So let's say that I and you, we are neurotypical, we have a normal brain, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I can be in the same class with you with over 40 children in one class. Why? We are neurotypical because we have a normal brain. So whatever the teacher is going to teach, it's easy for the two of us to be able to understand and process it. But with them, because they have a neurodiversity and the brain works differently, when they are in the same class with me, it's difficult for them to be able to process things fast, quicker for them. So that's why you need educational healthcare plan, so that this child can be in a specialist provision setting.
Mm.
So that they will not be in the mainstream setting, they will be in a specialist provision setting. Because even with the EACP, my daughter got a mainstream setting. And wow. When she got the mainstream setting, she was in a class with 29 other children. And basically what I did as a parent, the reason why I challenged the system was, I realized that I just dropped my daughter off to school and just allow her to spend those 6 hours there, but she was not basically making any progress. She wasn't making any progress. Why? Because mainstream was more formal. How is my daughter going to sit by a table?
Yeah.
How is she going to write? How is she going to respond to whatever phonics or whatever they are going to teach her? Because all these other 29 other children were there. So I have to challenge the system as a mother. I challenged them for 3 years and I kept on telling them, this is what my daughter needs. She shouldn't be in the mainstream school. She should be in a specialist provision center. Then I told them, look, you have set up strategies and targets for her. Let me ask you, which of them has my daughter achieved? None. So all the strategies, all these targets that you have outlined for her, which of them has she achieved? And there was a SENCO in the school. So I had to challenge the SENCO. I had to challenge the same case worker in the city that I live. And then God being so good, finally they had to do. So I said to them, I need an educational psychologist to come in and also do an assessment on my daughter. So if the educational psychologist tell you people she fit in there in the mainstream, then that's good. We continue with the EACP and she'll be in the mainstream. And God being so good, after I challenged them, they realized that no, she's not making any progress in the mainstream. And she's in the school, in a class with other 29 other children who are neurotypical and she's different from them. And later, the council came back to me and said, look, we'll place her in a specialist provision setting, which now they have done. And she's making a lot of progress because she is in a class with eight children.
Wow.
So that's a huge difference. Eight children.
So from 29 to 8 children, that's a massive, massive achievement.
Yes. So she's now in a class with 8 children and they have a very big space, resources, everything that they need. And I'm jealous when my daughter goes to school because she has swimming every Friday and she enjoys swimming.
Oh. Oh, that's beautiful.
So that's my journey in the education system.
No, you've done really, 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 really well. You know, and I think to everyone, parents or caregivers that, you know, are listening to this show, I think we are all picking a loop from that, is to try and challenge any inequality maybe that may arise around the caregiving and all that. So we appreciate you for doing that. Thank you so much. And of course, we're going to take a minute break, as always. I like a minute break. Dockers, we're going to take a minute break and we shall be right back in a jiffy.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaking, I've never been more glad. I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. Faithful through generation. So why would he fail now? You are. Yeah. Yeah. You are. No, 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 no. I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. So I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength. So I build my life on Jesus, and he's never let me down. He's faithful through every season. So
yes, welcome back to Embrace and Understand Diversity. This is a show brought to you by Reach Out Autism, and to everyone trying to raise awareness out there around autism. Listen, you're doing a good thing for the, you know, for the all the right reasons. Well done, well done. And massive shout out to Reach Out Autism wherever you are, and Kunmada, as always, we know we love you down here. Yes, we do. And to everyone that is working, you know, underneath this umbrella, we are sending our massive shouts to you. Don't forget, April 12th, we have the grand dinner, and of course the main aim is to try and spread more awareness around autism and to raise funds. So please go on the website, on Reach Out Autism website, and check out the details and get your tickets. We've got a 3-course meal. I mean, that sounds great. We've got a three-course meal, and I'm looking forward to that. And of course, we've got some entertainment and presentations. It's going to be a jam-packed. It's going to be a very, very eventful day. 12th April, don't forget, it's quite a few weeks remaining, but get your tickets on Reach Out Autism website. And of course, I'm going to be there live and direct. Yes, and yeah, we're going to do this. Docus, I love this song. Why did you choose this song?
Oh, all the songs that I have chosen is the songs that my daughter really loves.
Oh,
even though she's Namzeba, but when you sing Jaira, when you sing Femme Foundation, you can see the side men.
Aww.
Even if you want her to calm down, these are the songs that I used to calm her down. And sometimes I ask God, why does my daughter enjoy this song? There is a reason why. So that's the reason why you asked me for songs. I said, let me choose her favorite one and send it to you.
Amazing. It says, yeah. I've got peace that makes no sense. That is a powerful step.
Yeah. All the songs that she enjoys, when I listen to the words in them, I feel like it's God trying to talk through her to me. Even though I said, mother, I'm stressing myself out. But she's like, mommy, I have peace.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. We were all singing along the song, the song when it was playing, and we almost got carried away. But because of time, we had to cut it short. But yeah, beautiful song. Thank you. Right. So we are running out of time. And I just want to, pick on your brains. What do you think are the main challenges for parenting, raising autistic children on the spectrum? What could be the challenges?
I'll just say a few one because of time. So I would say the first one for me is communication, being able to communicate their needs to you as a parent. Like last week, I wasn't feeling well, my daughter wasn't well, and she had a very high temperature. And I as a mother, I was like, what's going on with her? Can she tell me maybe she has pain here, there? So I would say communication is a very challenge for me as a parent or as a mother taking care of them. And also I would say that educational challenges, as I just spoke to you,
yes,
because we the parents that have children on the spectrum, we have to challenge them before we can get the right support and resources for these children, but it shouldn't be that way. And I will also say that we have less time for self-care, so you leave everything that you are doing just to focus and on them, and by the time you realize you the parents, your well-being is not really the best. And there's one of the biggest one as a challenge for me as a parent is stigmatization of our children.
Sometimes
I remember there was one time I went on holidays with my daughter, and that was the first time that we were trying to use a train, because normally I had to travel with her by driving. Then on the train, people made such comments and all this thing, and I said to them, look, even though I had the sunflower, they didn't really process whatever was going on, and they were thinking that, oh, my daughter is normal, she's just misbehaving.
Mm.
So I would say that the stigma that is also being attached to these children, even though they need help and they need all the support from the public, I would say it's also a challenge for us, because if I feel being loved and my daughter feel being loved and accepted by society, I think as a parent, I won't have to worry myself and stress myself out, because I know that when I go out on the train, Julie is there to smile to my daughter, this person. Yeah. So these are some of the challenges I would say that I face as a parent. Yeah.
And, of course, Docus, this is why we hold, shows like this, Embrace and Understand Diversity, because we're trying to create more awareness around all these things, all the stigma, communication and isolation and all these issues that come with, people that are on the spectrum. And we will continue to do this. And of course, we've got you as a massive ally wherever you are.
Yeah,
we are banking on you to keep, obviously you're doing it now, but try and keep on keeping on. Yeah, you're doing a great job. So with every conversation that we've had in the last few minutes, how do you handle emotional exhaustions and burnouts? Talking about self-care.
So you know that when we talk about emotions, you have the feeling of hopelessness and all that kind of depression, anxiety. There's a lot of things that goes on. And sometimes I'm emotionally drained, you know.
Can imagine.
And sometimes I can't even process my daily activities and whatever is going on. And I'll be calling. So I have this very good friends of mine. They are family now. I'll just be calling them when I'm emotionally drained, and I'll be crying to them, and I'll be telling them. But there was one time that I was emotionally drained, and I had a voice telling me that you have to come out with a routine, and when you go with that routine, maybe you will get that strength and that energy to be able to cope with it. I am telling you this. Sometimes I'm with my daughter alone. I miss phone calls on my phone. I don't talk to anybody, but I've been able to learn how to cope with this emotional fatigue, because I realized that the more emotionally I break down, the more it affects me.
Of course.
So what also helped me was then I went back to work again. Then I realized that whatever happens, when I go out of the house in the morning, I smile. And when I come back, I'm happy with her. You know, I go out with her, and I keep saying to myself, be strong for Joanna, be strong for Joanna. And that has kept me. And that has kept me for this year. So at church, sometimes they say to me, how do you do it? Even with my, let me tell you this year, my pediatrician, he's not supposed to be checking up on me. And he calls me personally to check up on me. Do you know why? He said, he doesn't know how I do it. I cope emotionally because there are family out there that have family here in the UK, and they are struggling. But I've been doing a great job, and with Joanna, he's seen like the progress and everything. So that's how I cope with mine.
That's beautiful. Yeah. I mean, I hear you saying, obviously, when you go through this, you know, phase of being emotionally exhausted, you're calling on friends, you know, you're sticking to routine, and obviously you've tried to go back into work. I mean, those are the things, the little, you know, the little things that people can actually do, you know, keep to routine, call friends, shout out to people, you know, ask for help. Make sure you ask for help because, you know, people are there and they're willing to help. Yes, well done, well done, well done, Dockers.
Thank you.
The main juicy, the main juicy. the most exciting part is this. I'm going to give you 2 minutes to tell me about those successful stories about your girl, because I feel you have done really, really well. I feel despite everything else, you know, the exhaustions and all that, you've done really, really well. Tell me about some successful stories before we end the show in 2 minutes.
Wow. the successful story I will tell you about myself and my daughter is God has been good to us, and he has seen us through, because we have achieved a lot of milestones. I am telling you, my daughter is solid trained.
Wow.
And I don't know how I did it, but she did it.
Wow.
And the successful story about me and my daughter is we've been able to come out with a routine that, even though without Macinton, even though without Peg, my daughter is able to guide me to what she wants. And she's able to tell me, mommy, this is what I want you to do for me. No, I don't like this. And we've been able to work out things like when people come closer to her and she doesn't like them, she has a way that she communicates to me and tell me, mommy, no, I don't want to go closer to this person. Then that's when I know that, no, she doesn't want you. So I have a lot of things that I have achieved with her, which I am so excited and I'm happy about her. And you know, she can put on her clothes, she can put her shoes on, she can take her clothes off. You know, I know people will be thinking, mommy, your daughter is 7, why are you saying all this, you know? But it's a big milestone for me, and to me it's a successful story that my daughter will go and sit on the toilet without getting me, mommy, to go and watch her bum. Wow. Even though she's non-verbal.
Wow.
She's non-verbal. Yeah. So it's a great achievement for me. But someone would say, why are you so excited about this as a successful story? But to me, it's a great achievement for me. And I thank God for what he has done and where he has brought us. And I know that there is a lot more to come. Yeah. So
a lot more to come. Yes.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm just overwhelmed, you know. If you can, I mean, if you if you did it, a mother out there or a father out there or an auntie or a caregiver who is, you know, trying to offer support or help to any child or young person who is on the spectrum, I mean, celebrate every little milestone, however little it is. It is a milestone to that child or that young person. Dorcas, listen, I am motivated, I'm inspired, I am encouraged by your story tonight, and I am so honored to have you tonight on the show. Before we go, can you give us your social media handles, please?
So my social media handle, which one do you want?
I want everything, Dorcas. Everything you can give me.
Okay. So on TikTok, my handle name is Autism Awareness. Autism Awareness on TikTok. And when you come to Facebook, my social media handle name on Facebook is Dorcas Nana Gazeli. I don't know if you want me to
if you can spell it out for us. I know Nana is N-A-N-A, but I didn't get the last
okay,
one.
Okay, so on Facebook,
it's like you don't want me to be your friend. You're not giving me the details. You don't want me
no,
to
no. I'm giving you the details. So it's Jim is Golf Alpha Zulu Echo Lima Lima Echo. That's the name, Gazeli.
Okay.
Nana Tama on Facebook. Then on Instagram, I have General Health Awareness. That's my name on Instagram. And on TikTok, it's Autism Awareness. Yeah.
Thank you so very much. In 1 minute, give me one sentence to leave us with.
I would say disability is not inability. And Steven Walsh, he is an architectural artist and also on the spectrum. He is known for his ability to draw landscape from memory after seeing it just once. So what I would say is embrace neurodiversity and support persons, family, with children on the spectrum. Thank you.
You've been amazing. You've been amazing. You're so inspiring. You're so motivating. And I'm glad I've spoken to you tonight. And I'm sure people listening out there, they are encouraged as well. Thank you so much for taking your
time. Thank you so much too for having me on your show. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Embrace and Understand Diversity, brought to you by Reach Out Autism. For anything autism or you want to speak to us, just go on our website, and yes, just DM us and we will be right there. Yes, thank you so much for tuning in. It's your girl Julie, as always, here 7 to 8 p.m. every Sunday. I will speak to you next week. Whatever you do, do it well. You know, stay safe and try and be in the right places at the right time. God bless and stay safe. Bye bye.
think I want the credit I don't. Cause the glory ain't made for me, no. I know who sits on the throne, who makes the stage and writes the songs. And I know I couldn't do this on my own. And as much as I complain, I've seen more sunshine than rain. And I could thank my lucky stars, but that's not where my blessings are. No, they come from the Father's heart, not the sky, not chance. But truth is, I'm not lucky, I'm loved. I fall to my